God loves you today, and the Holy Spirit, the love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is made real to you and me by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus walked out and he looked out over Jerusalem, and he knew Jerusalem was going to reject him as Savior, his Bible says that Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he wept and he cried. He loved the people of Israel. He loved the Jewish people in that city. He wanted to be their Savior. He demonstrated his love. He wept and cried over them. When Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross. He was nailed to the cross. The sin of the world was laid on him. He became a sacrifice for you and me because he loved you. Because he loved you, he became a sacrifice. So the Bible says, Romans 5:5, that the love of God is in your heart and it's made real to you by the Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Have you ever prayed and you've reached a point where you've said to yourself, maybe you've said to God, you know what? I don't even know what to pray. I've reached a point where I don't know how to pray for my child, or I don't know how to pray for my spouse, or I don't know how to pray in this situation or that situation. This has been a great help to me in my prayer life. Watch this. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities. Infirmities means the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know, sometimes we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you and I don't know what to pray, the Bible says the Spirit of God intercedes, and the Spirit of God prays for us. Verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know what you and I can do? We can say this. We reach a point where we don't know what to pray. We reach a point where we don't even know what's best. But we can pray this. God, I'm your child. I've trusted you as my Savior. I'm your child. And God, I want your will. And God, I need the Holy Spirit to intercede. I need the Holy Spirit to pray and intercede for me. The Bible also says Jesus Christ intercedes for us. Pray for us and intercede. And God, I want your will, whatever your will is. Have you ever reached that point where you say, I don't even know how to pray? And I just say to you, these two verses have meant a lot to me when I've reached a point sometimes where I say, I don't know what to pray, God. You intercede for me. Because God knows, doesn't he? God knows what's best. God knows what his will is. God knows how he's going to walk us through it. And we can pray. And we can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to intercede. That's part of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives today. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse of the chapter of the book of Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The Bible says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, being the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. What's that? Well, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us stay in communion with God the Father and God the Son. Now, if there's no communion, if the Holy Spirit is grieved, if we're living in sin, there's no communion with the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, that he will forgive us and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He'll restore fellowship. But if there's sin in my life, then I have no communion with the Holy Spirit. If I don't have communion with the Holy Spirit, Then I've broken fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. So the Holy Spirit helps us stay in communion with Christ. I need that. You need that. We need the Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to show you here today. I know this message may be a little different, but I'm trying to show you that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. He is comforting you. He is teaching you. He is setting you free from sin, or He will. He is filling your heart with the love of God, letting you recognize that that God loves you. Now, He also gives you power to witness. In Acts 1:8, it says, "You shall receive the power. After that you've received the power of the Holy Ghost, ye shall be witnesses unto me in all the world." Now, most of us at some time in our life have witnessed about Jesus Christ. We've told other people about Christ. Let me say this. It is not our words that God is impressed with, or it's not our words that win people, but the Bible said it is the power of the Holy Spirit that draws a person to Christ. So when you and I witness, what we should want is we should want the power of the Holy Spirit upon our life. Paul said in Corinthians 4, verse 19, he said, "When I come back to Corinth, I'm not coming back to hear your words or to see what your words are. I am coming back to evidence the power. I'm coming back to see if you have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ on your life." Now, in reality, this is humbling. If I do not have the power of the Holy Spirit on my life right now, I would have probably been better off to stay in my office this morning or to stay home, because it's just words. Paul said, "I'm coming back not to hear your words, I'm coming back to see if there's power there." In Luke 24, verse 49, talking about the disciples, Jesus said, "Stay here, tarry here until the power comes." I thought when I was preparing this, I wonder what would happen if we went soul winning that way. If we'd say, "We're just going to stay here and we're going to pray until the power comes. And when the power comes, we'll go soul winning." Do you understand? The Holy Spirit is at work in your life. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 12 that Satan is present on this earth. He's the prince of the power of the air. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says that our battle is not against man or woman or individuals. Our battle is against spiritual things. Our battle is against Satan. Our battle is against all forces of evil. It's a spiritual warfare. But in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, God gives us the assurance that we will win. Verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." You and I have no chance at all spiritually for spiritual victory. No chance at all outside of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit, that God Himself, is greater than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit is greater than Satan. So our witnessing and our spiritual warfare must be in the power of the Spirit. Now I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, and this is my last point. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 13. The Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." The Holy Spirit works in us that which is pleasing to God. So we say today, it's not so much you striving, "I'm going to do better, I'm going to fight harder, I'm going to be more pure." It's not you or me saying, "We're going to do this," as much as it is yielding to the Spirit of God and saying, "God, whatever you want to do in my life, That's what I want. God, I want you to do your will in my life. I submit. I yield to you. In Hebrews 13:21, talking about the Holy Spirit, it says, working in you that which is well-pleasing to God. Working in you. Do you want the power of the Holy Spirit on your life? Then it will take a surrender. God, I surrender my life to you. And God, I want your will in my life. I surrender. Everything before that is me or self. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. No, no. God, I surrender to you. God, you have my family. I surrender them to you. They belong to you. My children, my wife, they belong to you. God, you are in control of my finances. I surrender it to you. God, you are in control of my health. God, you're in control of my job. Does that make sense? Now, if I go out and live in sin, I very well will reap the result of my sin, and I'll hinder the Holy Spirit working in my life. But if I surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, then I have to say, whatever comes health-wise, that's God's will. Whatever comes financially, that's God's will. I'm trying to do this today. I'm trying to say, listen, God is at work in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Right where you are sitting right now, the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. You're able to understand this through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you this. If you're not saved here today, if you're not saved, it's not been the Holy Spirit that has been teaching you or guiding you in days past or in years past. The Holy Spirit will draw you to Christ. And let me close with this. If your life would come to an end today, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have assurance, 100% assurance, that you would spend an eternity in heaven? And I'd like to give you an invitation today to come forward. Let us take an open Bible and explain to you how you can know Christ Jesus as your personal Savior.